The sermon today is titled Faith in Unexpected Places, and that's a good title, but I have an unpublished title for this message. I want to call it 19 Baskets in a Dog Dish. All right, so let's work. So the first thing I want us to do is we need to count out some baskets. So I need you to help me, okay? We're going to count together. Ready? What? One, two. Very good. Oh, no. One. Sorry about that. Okay. Very good. So you take 7 baskets plus 12 baskets, you add them up, carry them through. That makes 19 baskets and a dog dish. Now, in our gospel today, were you paying attention? Were you surprised? Because in the lesson, Jesus meets a Canaanite woman. And he called her a dog. Does that sound like Jesus that you know? Does that sound like the kind of Jesus we talk about at Grace? It's pretty confusing. And so, in order to understand this story, we actually need to pull back and look at the stories that came before it and the story that comes after it in order to really understand what's going on. You see, because this is from the Gospel of Matthew, and when Matthew told his stories, the Gospel writers, they didn't just randomly throw Jesus' stories together, because they actually tell us as much about Jesus by how they piece the stories together as they do it by the stories themselves. Okay, so we need to back up and look over here. Let's roll the tape back. This happens in chapter 15. We need to go back all the way to 13. You remember last week in our sermon, we talked about Jesus walking on the water. But before that happened, a couple things happened in Jesus' life. At the end of chapter 13, Jesus was rejected by Israel. He went to Nazareth, and his friends and family, they said, "Jesus, who do you think you are?" Boom! So he's rejected. And then, the very next story, the king of Israel named Herod had John the Baptist's head cut off. Boom! Rejected by Israel. And then, you remember, Jesus was set back by this, and he just needed to get away and alone. And so he got on a boat, and he went to the other side of the lake where it was deserted. But the crowds, they hounded him, they followed him, and they said, they demanded that he heal them. So in that moment, if you remember from last week, Jesus has compassion on the crowd, and he heals their sick. And it said there were 5,000 men plus women and children. And it was late at night, and there was no food around. And it was too late for them to get food. So he does this amazing miracle. He takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he multiplies it, and he feeds these 5,000 plus people. But what's really interesting to me about this story, as Matthew tells it, is that Matthew includes a detail that you think really shouldn't be included. He tells us after the food was, they were done eating, they're all full, they collect up the scraps. And he tells us how many baskets there were. And he said there were how many baskets? 12 baskets. Now, the very next story is that Jesus, after he leaves the feeds the 5,000, the 12 baskets, the very next story is what we talked about last week, where the wind and waves came, and there's chaos, and Jesus and Peter are out on the water, and it's this merry, amazing thing, and Jesus calms the storm. Then there's a tiny little story that's only 2 verses long, where Jesus heals another crowd of Jews. And then we enter into chapter 15, where we come to this story. Jesus encounters the religious leaders of Israel. And they come up to Jesus, and they, you know, he's been doing all these amazing things for the Jews. He's been healing their sick. He's been feeding the hungry. He's been taking care of these Jewish people. And the Jewish leaders come to him, and the only thing they care about is they say, "Jesus, your disciples, they don't wash their hands before they eat." And Jesus is like, really? Did you not see all these amazing things I've done? Feeding these people and caring for the sick and the poor. All you care about is being clean. And so Jesus just rips into the Jewish leaders and he says, what goes into a man is not what makes him unclean, but it's what comes out of him that makes him clean or unclean. Now, here's what's really, really interesting. The very next story, after Jesus has had this confrontation, he's been taking care of the Jewish people, he's confronted the Jewish leaders. The very next story is this story about the Canaanite woman. So Jesus is in this place, and this Canaanite comes up to him. Now, a Canaanite, we have to understand what that means. Canaanites were the enemies of the Jews. They had been enemies of the Jews as far back as Moses. You remember, Moses was actually supposed to wipe out the Canaanites. This is a centuries-old rivalry. Let's put it in context of today. Imagine today the most conservative preacher that you can imagine, who is all about American nationalism and is waving the American flag all the time. And that man is approached by a Muslim woman whose cousin was involved in the Taliban attack of the Twin Towers. And that woman comes to that preacher and says, help me, my daughter needs your help, will you help me? How would that preacher respond to that woman? The real question is, how would you respond to that woman? I mean, we're just weeks away from the 10th anniversary of 9/11. My children have grown up in a world where, my daughter was in kindergarten on 9/11. She's never known anything other than that. With the Taliban and Islam being the evil enemy. So here this woman comes to you and says, help me, my daughter is in need. That is the level of tension at which we find Jesus in this moment. This Canaanite woman comes up to him and says, Lord, my daughter is sick. She's being possessed by a demon. Help me. So what does Jesus do? Jesus does what any self-respecting Jewish man would do in that moment. He ignores her. She doesn't even exist. But she persists. She says, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter needs you. And so Jesus, he breaks a rule. And he turns and he looks at her. And he talks to her. And that's against the rules. But what does he say to her? He says, woman, I was sent to the sheep of Israel. That's my mission. Would it be right for me to take the food for the children and give it to the dogs? He called her a dog. Well, in that moment, most women in that situation would have just faded away, slunk back into the shadows, and the divide would have existed. But this woman persists. She looks at him and she says, Jesus, I know that you're better than that. I know that you're bigger than that. Have mercy on me. My daughter needs your help. And she persists. Now, between verse 27 and 28, something happens inside of Jesus. I have to be honest, I don't completely understand what's going on here. Some people would say that Jesus was just pretending and playing the racial discrimination game in order to display to his disciples how bad it is. But others would say that Jesus, in his humanity, actually had a change of heart and mind. Because between verse 27 and 28, something shifted in his mission. Between 27 and 28, Jesus reached out across the hatred and across the fear, and he healed the girl. Now, the very next story after this one, the very next story that Matthew tells us is that Jesus returns to the Sea of Galilee, but this time he goes to the other side of Galilee, to a Gentile region. And he's with this group of Gentiles for 3 days and he heals them. And again, he has this miracle of feeding 4,000 men plus women and children. Just like he did over there. And this time, they collected the scraps. But how many baskets did they collect? 7 baskets. The first time when he was feeding Jews, he collected 12 baskets. And this time he collected 7 baskets. You see, before the Canaanite woman, Jesus came to care for the Jews. And the scraps were collected, and there were enough for the 12 tribes of Israel. But after his encounter with the Canaanite woman, Jesus fed the Gentiles, and the leftovers, there was enough for 7 baskets. 7 is the number of perfection and wholeness, and the number 70 represented the Gentile nations to the Jews. From that moment on, Jesus' mission expanded, and he understood that God had sent him not just for the Jews, but for all people, even if they were Canaanite dogs. Faith in unexpected places. Now, we've been highlighting our missions trip because one of the reasons you take students on missions is to expand their horizons a bit. And we had an amazing story, but rather than me tell the story, I want to invite Abby Jeanette to come up. This is Abby Jeanette. She is a senior at Andover High School. And Abby, are you nervous?
Yes.
Yes, good. And she said, when I asked her to do this, she said, "You mean I have to talk to everybody?" And I said, "No, you just talk to me." Okay, so you guys can listen in on our conversation a little bit. And so I want to ask you a couple questions, Abby. First of all, before we went on this trip to Atlanta, what were some of your thoughts and expectations of the trip?
Before the trip, I was kind of stuck in my relationship with Christ because I felt like my issues weren't irrelevant to God because there's so many people who are hurting worse than I was, and because my life is very privileged. And so I was just praying to him and asking him to show me his works in a new way.
Cool. Now, as Alex told you about this cookout that we had on Thursday night, it was an amazing trip all around. But on Thursday night was a really special experience because we had this cookout and the homeless community in downtown Atlanta joined us and we just hung out with them. And I know, Abby, that you had an experience that night because I was there and I saw the aftermath of that in you. And so can you just tell us what happened that night?
Yeah, it was actually really cool. We had just gotten our food, me and Amy, who Alex was talking about. We got our plates and we crossed the street to the park across the street. And we were sitting down and we were all just there and eating dinner together. And I saw this man sitting by himself under a tree. And I could tell that he was homeless and I was so scared. But something just called me to go and sit by him. And so I stand up and I walk the 30 feet and I'm like shaking and I'm so nervous. And I went and I sat down and I introduced myself and we just started talking and it was incredible because at first it was a little awkward and he was just telling me how he had been homeless his whole life and he had no family except one sister who wanted nothing to do with him. And our lives were so different, but I realized how powerful God was that he brought us both together to have a dinner date, as he called it. Mm-hmm. We were just having hamburgers and he had talked about suicide. He asked me questions about suicide and asking me all these questions that I didn't know the answers to about God and creation. And I actually ended up reading the Bible to him from Genesis because he was curious about creation. And he asked me if I had ever been stabbed before or had a gun to my head or beaten with a lead pipe. And I'm like, oh, wow. And I was very nervous. But it was just, we're just so different. And I know I keep saying that, but it was just incredible how we could be brought together in that way. And before I went on the trip, I didn't really know what I was going for. And it was the night before we left the trip that God brought Bruce to me. It was really cool.
Do you imagine Abby sitting there?
You ever had a gun held to your head?
I mean, that's the experience. So Abby, the last question. What did God teach you in that moment?
Besides realizing how blessed that I am here in my life, and I realized that God doesn't see the social groups that we make for ourselves. And when we put up those walls and we don't want to branch out and reach people who are so different from us, that we're only hurting ourselves. And God's love is so powerful that he doesn't even see that. And that's how he's able to love everyone. And we are all his children and we are all equal. Mm.
Thank you, Abby. Let's give Abby a big hand. Powerful stories, and if you ask any one of our students, they would have similar stories. So the question for us today is this. It's human nature to think that the way I am and the people that I'm comfortable with and the way that we understand God is the right way and God's way. And to think that everyone else is somehow less than us. Now, we're all Minnesota nice, and we would never actually say the words. But deep down in your heart, there is someone, some kind of person that really you think eats from this. And the challenge for us today is to realize that in God's kingdom, the mission that Jesus expanded to, we realize that at the very same moment that every one of us is a dog in need of God's grace, and that every one of us is a sheep and a child that God loves and welcomes into his kingdom. So for us as a church, how are we going to reach across that divide of fear and hatred and expand the kingdom of God with in partnership with what God is doing? Can we pray together? Well, Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for how it is spoken through high school students and through homeless men on the sidewalk and through a Canaanite woman so long ago. Help us to join with Jesus as our horizons expand and that we reach out and love everyone as your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.